Welcome to the Live Greatly podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Bauer. It's time to say goodbye to sacrificing your well-being on the way to success. As an entrepreneur in wellness, integrative medicine fellow, university lecturer, longtime physician assistant, experienced in integrative psychiatry and functional medicine, and a keynote speaker, I have a lot of experience and expertise to share. So get ready to optimize your well-being and move in the direction of your dreams. Help spread this valuable and powerful message by sharing the podcast with your friends, family, and community. Together, we can make a profound impact on the world. I'm so excited. We have a really incredible guest today, Pankaj Shah. He's a serial entrepreneur, investor, philanthropist, and the founder and CEO of Finches, a global collective of thought leaders in early stage technology. Pankaj is an investor in dozens of companies, an advisor to 8 venture capital firms, and he collaborates regularly with the NBA. He's passionate about incubating ideas, building communities, and helping scale consumer brands in the sports, media, and entertainment sectors. He recently founded Sparrows, a platform to humanize people's professional lives, Pacecar, and a soon-to-be-announced gin company. His current philanthropic focus is with the Angiogenesis Foundation and Hillaroo. Pankaj is also an advocate for Every Mother Counts, Virgin Unite, and Witness. He's been a guest speaker at a number of top schools, including Columbia University, Harvard University, New York University, and Stanford University, and he's just an incredible human being. So welcome. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I would love to just get a little bit of the backstory on how you started down the road of being an entrepreneur, an investor, and really, I mean, you've just been so successful. So I would love to hear kind of back in the day, did you have like a huge vision for yourself? Like, where did this begin?
I think it began really, really early. I mean, I remember I started like a bubblegum racket when I was in fifth grade, where I used to go and buy bubblegum at my local convenience store, and then I sold it at a profit inside of the school hallways. I did get in trouble. I forget the woman who actually ratted me out, but I remember I got put in detention or whatever it was called. But yeah, I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I would say I ended up becoming like more of a formal entrepreneur in Silicon Valley, mostly because I didn't know that I could actually do anything else. So I got out here in 1999. My sister's husband had moved out here in 97. He's a great mentor and father figure to me and brother figure as well. And I just caught the bug. You know, I was working at a company and learning a lot, but realized like I have trouble in like large structured environments. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to give it a whirl to start my first company in 2002. And kind of never looked back. It's been a wild journey.
You said you had trouble with the structured environment, and I think that's like a pretty common thing for successful entrepreneurs. I'm curious like why that was. Did you not want to conform? Did you not want to follow the rules? What was behind that?
Yeah, it was all of that. It's too stubborn and too petulant, and just I think not mature enough to understand how like you would have a long-term career inside of a company that had so many like layers. I just wanted to just get things done, even if they weren't the right way to do things or the right things. So just dealing with the bureaucracy and the infrastructure was like a little bit hard for me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I started my first company, it was in the middle of the dot-com bust. So it just took a long time to get off the ground. And a lot of people lifted me up and got me through that process. Thankfully, we were super lucky to actually get that first company off the ground.
Now, do you feel like a lot of your success has come down to who you know, like connections, building community, or do you think that it's been more of what you've been doing, like an action-based success, or both?
Probably both. I would say 90% is going to be on the network because I have a way of getting myself into trouble, and my bodyguards usually are the ones who get me out.
You're going to have to tell me one of those stories.
Yeah, that's a different podcast. I would say 90% of his people. And I've also been reflecting, by the way, just even on what success is, because, you know, I didn't grow up with any money, and immigrant parents from India, obviously. And it was a struggle when we were growing up pretty often with money. And I thought it was going to cure like all kinds of different things, especially when you're in Silicon Valley. It's like you want to be successful professionally anyway, because like that's what people do here. So just to fit in and deal with whatever megalomaniac complexes we all have as founders. It ended up bringing literally like no more happiness. It might have been like a net negative in the end. So when I hear, like, I'm just reflecting on your question about like, oh, success. And I'm sitting there thinking like, I don't know if I've been successful. Like I know I'm economically successful, but just like as a human being, like that's a work in progress for sure.
So there's still that inner doubt. I think that that's just like a human thing, you know, that there's always that sense of like more, you know, you can achieve more, you can do more, that seeking, you know. I think that that's kind of like an innate quality that we share as human beings, is just like we're searching, you know, and whether that's like fully discovering your purpose or, you know, there's more to be developed there. I mean, from my eyes, you seem extremely successful. And I think I like that you've mentioned the financial piece, because before recording, you know, we were chatting a little bit about this, but there's this idea that, you know, especially if you are struggling with money, that once that comes, once you have that figured out, everything's going to work out. And I think that that sometimes causes people to sacrifice their well-being trying to attain financial success. Now, to a certain extent, like, yeah, sure, like money's going to bring a lot of relief in a lot of ways. It can open up doors and bring freedom. But I think that if you sacrifice on the way, you sacrifice your health, your relationships, you know, you're not going to have fulfillment, you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you think about that.
Yeah, I agree. Because I sacrificed all those things and it was not fulfilling. I mean, I was, you know, I have three beautiful children. They're 21, 17, and 15. So there was like an entire decade, basically, that I wasn't present enough. You know, I think I did a good job going to all their sporting events and concerts and trying to be present in that way. But I think just like being home for dinner most nights and not traveling so much and on and on and on, like those are all sacrifices I made that in hindsight, I probably would have worked 25% less and probably still had the exact same outcome. And had a much more healthy family dynamic during that time. I do think, and you know, I just got swept up in it. You wake up and you're like, you're in the scene and you're doing cool things and everybody's just like, wow, this is amazing. And you just want to keep going. So I would say in hindsight, just because I'm 47 now and I've had time to reflect and hopefully mature and grow up a little, I would have made different choices for sure. I'm also not certain I would have learned all the lessons I've learned if I hadn't gone through what I went through. So it's not like it's filled with regret or some negative emotion. It's more just like a reflection on like, okay, now I get to pick and choose every day when I wake up who I want to be and how I want to interact with the community that I live in. And I'm just making much more thoughtful, purposeful choices these days than I used to, I would
say. Yeah, it sounds like you just have a lot more awareness about your life at this point. And I think I love that you said, like, it's not like there's regret for those choices. Like, you've learned a lot. It's gotten to where you are today. I think most people can relate to that, right? It's like you look back and you have this new level of awareness, you're wiser, you know. But in reality, like, I've had conversations with great psychologists on this. At the time, we're all doing the best we can with the information that we have. So it's kind of like beating yourself up for something in the past. It doesn't mean anything, because like you're totally, you know, you're a different person now, right? Like at the time, that was the world you were living in. That's what you were surrounded with. And it makes sense. So I think, you know, for me on my journey, like that's helped me come to terms, I think, with maybe some choices that I made in the past where I like look back and like, what was I thinking? I can't believe I did that, you know?
I have a bunch of those. Yeah.
So you are all about community. And I absolutely love that. And even from knowing you a short period of time, I can tell, I get that sense from you. So wondering, like, where did that come from? Why, where did that sense of the importance of community kind of start for you?
You know, I think it started actually because I never really fit in anywhere when I was growing up. I think I got out to Silicon Valley and thought, wow, there's just like so many interesting, amazing people. And from all walks of life, by the way. So they could be doctors, scientists, founders, teachers, doesn't really matter. And so I just over time started to build this, I would say, interesting network of people. And I just really wanted to spend as much time as I could bringing those different communities together just to have like more deep conversations and learning opportunities and things like that. And so, yeah, I think it really just came from this. Up until I was probably 30, I felt like I never really fit in anywhere. And so I wanted to just be more, again, present and thoughtful about who I was around and the community that I was participating in and how maybe I could even build my own community with all these random walks of life people kind of in the same group.
Yeah, that's, I mean, well, you're doing a great job of it. Now, out of curiosity, like saying that you didn't fit in, did you get teased when you were growing up, or did you feel like you struggled in different areas?
I don't know that I got teased any more than anybody else did. It was more just like, you know, Indian immigrant family. I grew up in New Hampshire, which is not like the most diverse place. So like I had a funny name. I was always like the shortest, fattest kid at school, like all those types of things. And it just carried through. So I think I've had a chip on my shoulder, or used to anyway, for a long time, just because like I didn't really feel like I felt it like included anywhere. And even when I got it to Silicon Valley, which, you know, this entire region is, I always tell people it's a romantic idea. You know, it's amazing that people can move out here and chase their dreams and raise money to go start all these amazing companies and stuff. And even when I got out here and everybody was just so nice and welcoming, I still had that chip on my shoulder and still made decisions that were regrettable in hindsight, just about how I interacted with people and treated them and on and on and on. It was all coming from the standpoint of just like fear and like this imposter syndrome, where it's just kind of like, I never believed that I belonged here or should be here or anything. And it kind of just like ate me up. So, yeah.
So then how did you overcome that? I think, you know, for me, I can relate to like some of that, just feeling like you're not fitting in a certain way. And especially like going back to work for me, I was home. I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 years. And then getting back into the workforce, I kind of just was like, I'm going to go full force. And I didn't really give myself time to think about it. But when I would sit back, you know, there would be those like, do I belong here? Do I know what I'm doing? And I still have that. I'm like, you know, and I've learned though, not to listen to that voice that kind of pops in. And for me, really, meditation has been huge for that. And I think just developing a more of a spiritual practice, I think that actually has been kind of game changing for me to have a new perspective about all that stuff. Curious what's worked for you, if you feel like you've been able to overcome it.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to overcome it. I think I just manage it better. It's kind of like anxiety. You don't really ever get rid of anxiety if you have it. You just learn how to manage it better and kind of change your relationship with it, so you're not as dysfunctional. And so for me, I do meditate, not as often as I should, but I do. And I just started a couple of weeks ago kind of experimenting with these life hacks about how to kind of reset myself. Because what I was finding was like, there was time in the morning, there was time super late at night, but in the middle, it's just like still all these like vibrations during the day that were spiky. And so one of the things I've been just trying for the last couple of weeks now is I'm trying to take the last 5 minutes of every hour to be still. So like my two puppies are sleeping at my feet right now. So I either take them for a walk or look at pictures of my children when they were younger, just things that bring me peace and joy. And I'm trying to do that like every hour instead of like just waiting until when I wake up or until late at night. So I'm tinkering, I would say. I don't know what the right
answer is. How that goes. It's like a little experiment. I think that's an incredible idea. I'd love to know like how long that lasts for. If you can like maintain that totally can change your perspective on things.
Yeah.
Like, but that appreciation and gratitude, I think is, you know, can be totally life changing. Have you ever read Eckhart Tolle's books? I think that's how you pronounce his name.
I have not. I should. That's a good reminder.
The reason I ask, it's kind of interesting. I was just listening to one of his online videos, and he's all about mindfulness, and he had a big like spiritual awakening after being in a really low place in his past. And he's a really great teacher on being present in the now. And he was talking about thoughts and how you know, we're kind of, we're conditioned and we're all kind of like walking around, like we're not awake. We're like asleep. You know, it's like you're a robot, like going through the same patterns, the same thought processes. And then until you kind of realize that and make space between yourself and those thoughts and realize that's not who you are, you know, it causes a lot of suffering. So in order to really wake up, he described thoughts as like little bubbles And it's like
yeah.
little like energy, like bubbles floating around, and they don't, you know, they're not yours. It's not who you are. And if one kind of comes up, if you're feeling a little irritated, and then it gets resonance with you, and all of a sudden it builds, and then more come. And I just thought it was really kind of a playful way to describe how we can just go through life sometimes with holding on to these patterns that can be a struggle sometimes to let go of.
Yeah. Have you ever read the book, How to Become Supernatural? I'm only, I think, 3 or 4 chapters in, but it's kind of like that. You know, part of what they talk about is how your brain is like wired to fire in a certain way. So like when you, it's pattern recognition, right? So when you run into an instance that used to cause you anxiety or depression or stress or joy or whatever it is, like you're just like, okay, I'm going to do that quicker. And so you form these habits almost in your head. And part of what the book so far anyway has been talking about is how you can just choose to like think about your experiences in a much different way. Like you don't have to be beholden to your past. The other thing that they wrote about in the book, it's even simple little things about mind over matter. So like they ran these experiments, and I think it was at Harvard, where they asked people to not flex their muscles at all, but to visualize them doing it for like 15 minutes a day. And after a month, their muscles were like 30% stronger.
Love
it's
it.
Just like those tiny little things, right? You're like, huh.
I love that, the mind-body connection. I've read a lot of books about that. I think it's so fascinating, just the power of the mind.
Yeah.
The placebo effect, which, you know, all of that stuff is like, I get a kick out of talking about that. So such cool stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit too about how you de-stress. And I think, you know, you just gave me a little bit of a look into that. But you also have told me before that you're really into music. So I'm wondering if you ever use music or other things to help you with stress.
I listen to it all day. So yeah, music is probably like the number one thing to help me with stress. The other is just physical activity. So like taking my puppies up for a walk up the hill, or I started playing tennis again. Just simple little things like that have been super important. Yeah, because I think like the way people talk about it now, because like all the buzzwords are out there about mindfulness and purposeful and meditating, and like everybody's into all these things, but it's still like every single day, at least in my life, is like a little bit uneven. So just to get through it all, and it's probably because I'm working on a ton of different things and have 3 kids and like all this other stuff, but I find it like I have to really think through every single day what I want to do to de-stress. And it kind of changes. I would say music is the one constant. But aside from that, it's like sports. It's looking at my phone, like just the pictures that I've taken for the last 20 years, like those types of small little things that bring you joy, trying to do more of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I like that you're not, it doesn't sound like you're strict with yourself. You know, you're checking in with yourself on like a daily basis, being like, okay, well, what do I need? And I think sometimes, you know, we get into these regimens, like you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. But it's nice to, I think, to have a little bit of flexibility there too, to be able to just adjust as you go. And, you know, as far as like the unevenness, I think that's just like being a human being, right? I think that there's no like true perfection in any of this, right? There's going to be bumps in the road. And especially like as a father, and you're doing tons of things. It's not like you're just sitting around watching TV all day. You're, you know, running into different businesses, and you've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear a little bit more about sparrows. I know we've chatted about it. I made a profile there. I love the concept. So I'm hoping you can share with the audience a little bit more about it.
Yeah, thanks for asking. And you have a great profile. So sparrows, we just kicked it off a few months ago. I think it's about 6 months old. And the idea here is to humanize your professional life. Because, you know, the pattern recognition we have now in the workforce is you meet somebody and you say, Crystal Bauer, LinkedIn, because I want to find out what you've done. So before you interview for a job or have a business meeting or anything in the workforce, that's kind of like the commonly accepted behavior. And I woke up through many iterations of this idea, which it would literally take the rest of our time to go through how this thing started. But I would say I did wake up a few months ago earlier this year thinking, wow, like when I think about my place in the business world, it's all relationship driven. And I really don't have anywhere online where I can go and learn who people are as opposed to what they've done. And so when you think about sparrows, it's really about who you are as a human being in a professional context, as opposed to like what you've done. So if you're not competitive with LinkedIn, like they have their place. So if you want to know like companies I'm involved with and schools I went to, like you can get all that at LinkedIn. But the personality behind me, like what makes me, that's what you would find on Sparrows.
Yeah, no, I really like that. I think making things easier for humans to connect, like a human-to-human connection, person-to-person connection, I think is great. And a little, you know, it's a different feel than Instagram and Facebook. And it's has that, you know, it's definitely professional feel to it. And it's meant for professionals, right? Is that kind of the concept?
I mean, the two biggest use cases we have so far, and again, it's super early, but I would say the number one is like people who are looking for a job. If they submit their Sparrows URL alongside their LinkedIn URL, I don't have any data to back this up, but I think you're like an order of magnitude more likely to get the interview if you send over your Sparrows URL. Because the hiring manager, again, just relationship-wise, is going to learn so much more about who you are. The other thing we're starting to see more and more of is people using their Sparrows URL in their email signature. So I started doing that. Obviously, you know, it's my company, so I'm tinkering with everything when it comes to how to use it. But it's been nice to see. I know of at least like a couple dozen people now that have it in their email signature. So like every time they have a meeting, you know, there's a section on there about an interesting factoid. And our lead investor, Charles Hudson, our precursor, his interesting factoid is that he ran with the Bulls in Pamplona and lived to tell about it. So I mean, it's like, you click on it. It's like, okay, I can at least start asking you questions about that or why he's a Pistons fan or like any of these things, right?
Yeah. I'll have to look back and see what I said for that. Maybe I'll have to make it a little bit more exciting. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
I had John Walsh as a guest on my podcast, and he helps people like stand out as looking for jobs and as graduates. And he used to work for Walt Disney and Madison Square Garden, lots of experience. But the reason I'm bringing him up is one of the things that he said was you need to be unique. You need to make yourself like authentic, and you need to stand out from everybody else and the same cover letter and the same, you know. Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of what you're saying here too. Like this is an opportunity to really make yourself stand out. And what makes you, you know, more unique, and what makes you you, those like personal touches.
Yeah. And it's, I think, even more important for the younger generation. We have this, I would say, robust intern program. So I sat in this chair and I did about 450 15-minute Zoom calls over the summer, chatting with potential interns. And it was amazing because they're taught in school to just go create a LinkedIn profile. And everybody is like, what am I going to put? Like, what do you actually put if you're just like starting off, right? And so Sparrows has resonated with that generation, I think, even more, just because it's like at least gives them the freedom to go talk about things like places they've traveled or interesting experiences that they've had or hobbies and interests or what they're curious about. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, very cool. So switching gears a little bit, I'm curious, as an investor, do you get a lot of pitches from people? Like, is it like Shark Tank style where people are like coming? I recently watched Shark Tank, so it's on my mind. But I'm curious what that looks like and what makes you say yes to people. Is it based on people you know, relationships? Is it like a social, personal connection, or is it something totally different?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm like a very middle of the road investor in Silicon Valley. You know, there are many, many, many people who are far more successful and active than I am. So, I mean, I get a fair share of deal flow, like random stuff from LinkedIn or cold emails. But every deal I've ever done has come through a friend. I was just talking about this yesterday. I was thinking, like, I'm not sure, out of all the companies I'm involved with, I don't think I found a single one of them on my own. So I have this pocket of friends. You know, I'm an advisor to a handful of funds and close with others, and been lucky enough to have been in the middle of that flow. And I think that's pretty much all it's come down to. Like, if the company's in a sector that I like and the founder is somebody cool, I'm like, let's just give it a roll, see how it goes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like that. So there's not like the drama associated with it.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I can't invest enough in these companies on my own to like move the needle one way or the other anyway. So in my world, I'm just like, I just want to be surrounded by good people doing really interesting things. So that's my litmus test.
I love that. Good people doing interesting things. I'm right there with you. I feel like that's what it's really all about. You're having quality relationships and making a positive impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we have a little bit more time. I'm hoping that you could share a little bit about the different foundations that you're really passionate about, maybe give a little background for the audience so they know about them. And then we can go into like how people can find you and anything else you'd like to add.
Yeah, sure. So I spend the most time right now thinking about the Angiogenesis Foundation. It's ANGIO.org. The executive director is William Lee. He is an amazing human being, has given a riveting TED Talk. He's a number one bestselling author. He wrote a book last year called Eat to Beat Disease. And this is his life's work. So aside from just being a magician when it comes to medical issues, he's put so much thought and energy into thinking through how diet can affect your body. So like the whole concept is food is medicine. I mean, he's been working on this stuff for 30 years. And so the book is a reflection of that. So that's kind of where I spend most of my time and energy, trying to get people in my community excited about it. Mm-hmm. I would say the thing that I found most probably impactful over time is Every Mother Counts, which Christy Turlington founded, I think probably 15 years ago now. I'm losing track of time, but it's a maternal health advocacy organization, and helping people think through like what are the issues in very local areas when it comes to maternal health. And so they are an advocacy organization. So they partner with all these organizations around the world that are doing amazing work in the field. And she's using her celebrity and network to basically raise money to go fund these organizations. I mean, it's like super impactful work, and she's done an amazing job with it. Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. And then how can people find out more about what you're doing? I'll put the website for Sparrows in the episode details too, so they can find it. But anything else that you're working on that you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, I think that, I mean, this has been a lovely chat. Like I said, I spend almost all my waking hours these days on Sparrows and a couple of other smaller projects. But yeah, this is kind of what I'm doing and what I'm up to. And I'd love to hear from people. I would say I posted a couple of things on LinkedIn in the last few weeks. It's the first time I've ever posted.
I haven't seen them.
Well, the first one was because I have this network. I was thinking, hey, there are all these people looking for work. So I wonder if I just like posted something saying, anybody who's looking for a gig, just give me your name and what type of job you're interested in. And I'll put it together in a spreadsheet. And we've had, I'm losing track now, I think like 200, 300 something people who have responded to that, and it got 20,000 views or something. So I was like, okay, at least like there's something we can do where we can send that spreadsheet to my network, to the general partners at the funds, to the founders, things like that. And then the other one I posted was just about this 5 minutes of every single hour, because I'm trying to involve people. Like, what are the life hacks that people have? It's like just one of the most interesting things right now for me is like, how do people manage time? How do they de-stress? Like all the questions you were asking me, like I'm still learning, trying to figure out what my options are.
Yeah.
That maybe this is like an interesting way to just even get more answers, is to start posting things like soliciting feedback. Yeah.
Those are great topics. I know. And I love the concept of the 5 minutes at the end of each hour. So again, you're going to have to tell me how that goes. Like I'm kind of at the point now where I have my morning, I have a set of time where I meditate, I take time for like setting intentions, I work out. And then I kind of just see how I feel. Like if I find myself feeling tense or stressed, like I need a minute. And then I'll take a minute. Like earlier today, I was looking outside at the trees for a moment, just like calming. Like sometimes I'll breathe, meditate, I have a little time at night that I spend in like quiet meditation. But I like the idea of having more consistency. So you'll have to let me know how it goes. This has been so fun. And it was an absolute pleasure chatting. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Live Greatly podcast today. You can learn more about me and Live Greatly at www.livegreatly.co. You can check out my online courses, A Healthy Mind Starts in the Kitchen to Eat to Optimize Your Mood, and an 8-week online course to guide you towards optimal well-being and success. Check me out on Instagram at livegreatly_co and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. I'm also very active on LinkedIn, so you can follow me there. Please leave a review and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Share it with your friends. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you to awaken your ultimate potential.